And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 says that he is far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but it is in the world which is to come. Our Lord, which is above all.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Thrones above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
God's presence is with us through worship. And now as we go into the Word, I'd ask you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 14, beginning in verse 17, as we continue our series in the names of God. Today we come to the second of God's names He revealed to us. Genesis chapter 14, beginning in verse 17. After Abram returned from defeating Chlamydomar and the kings aligned with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him at the Valley Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belong to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal, so that you may not be ever able to say that I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me to Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." Here's the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that indeed you are above all kingdoms, above all powers, above all authority. Your name is higher than any other name, and you indeed are the God Most High. Lord, as we come before you this morning and open your word together, we pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, encourage us and challenge us, that Lord, as we've been together, we can say it truly has been good to be with you, because we have sensed your presence, and we've been in the presence of the Most High God this morning, and we've heard from you. To you be the glory and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. Today we continue our series looking at the names of God, and last week we began with the first of his names revealed in Genesis chapter 1. That was the name Elohim. The name we learned to discover means God, the basic name for God, and we saw God in his greatness and his glory revealed through our Creator, through his power revealed through the creation, his power revealed in the work and in his world over us. Today we look at the second of his names revealed. As we learn this theory, this theme that we've been titled, Getting to Know God Through His Names. And today we're going to come to the second of those, and that's the name El Elyon. Again, it's a Hebrew name, El Elyon. We see it recorded here for us in Genesis chapter 14. Three times this name appears in the verses that we're going to be looking at this morning. El Elyon is a compound Hebrew word, and we learned last week that the name El from Elohim means God, and Elyon means most high or exalted. It comes from a root word which means to go up or to ascend or to climb. That's what the word Elyon means, a root word. It basically, that's, you put El and Elyon together, and it basically means God Most High or the Most High God. We see that literally translated for us in the scripture before us. In God Most High, we see that name El Elyon mentioned for us. It carries the idea of being lifted up above all others, above all other gods, above everything else, that God is exalted high above everything. It carries with it the idea of supremacy and exaltation, that our God is supreme over all others. He has absolute supremacy over all things, and he is to be exalted above all others in our praise and in our life. And that's what the name El Elyon carries with it and signifies as we look at that name this morning. It expresses the idea of exaltedness and the overwhelming majesty of God. In Genesis chapter 14, we see that Abram, at this point his name was Abram, not Abraham yet, had heard that his nephew Lot, who was living in the city of Sodom, had been taken capture because there were five kings who went to war against three. And in the war, Sodom had been captured, and his nephew Lot had been captured with the residents of Sodom. And Abram, of hearing that, raised up an army of his men, and they went out in pursuit. And he was able to defeat those kings and come home in victory. And on his way, returning from victory, rescuing Lot, he was met by a man named Melchizedek. You may remember when we were through the study of Hebrews, we talked more about him in length. But we come back and he was met by Melchizedek. And the Bible says here that Melchizedek was a priest of God Most High. And that's where the first time we see this name, El Elyon, mentioned in Scripture. He's a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abram in the name of the Most High God and gave him a blessing. And Abraham, in return, worshiped him and offered him a tenth and received the blessing of God Most High through Abram, through Melchizedek's life and through his blessing. But the name God Most High reveals four things, teaches us four things about our God this morning. As we look at his name and we get to know him better through his name. And the purpose, as we've been going through this study, is not only to know his name, but to know him through his name, how he has chosen to reveal himself so we can know him in a better way and more intimacy as he has chosen to reveal himself through his scripture and through the names that he's given to himself. So first, El Elyon teaches us that he alone, our God alone, is the one that we worship. Above everything else, above all other things, he, God alone, is the one that we worship and adore. It says that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of God Most High. Now, Melchizedek, Salem, was this ancient city of Jerusalem. It was before it was given the name Jerusalem. It's where it was the city of Salem. And it was in the midst of the land of Canaan. If you remember anything about the land of Canaan from studying the scripture, we know that it was full of idols. It was full of paganism. And people worshiped a whole lot of different gods. In fact, Abram himself lived in the city of Ur. And the city of Ur had a lot of idols as well. And Abram had come from a background where they worshiped many, many gods and idols. He was dwelling in the midst of a land where they worshiped many different gods around them. But Melchizedek and Abram worshiped the God Most High. They knew there was only one God who was exalted above all others, and he was the one that was worthy of worship. Because there is no one greater than him. It says name, El Elyon, means God Most High, God exalted, God elevated all over others, that there is no one greater than him. The Most High God means that there is no idol, God, or created being that should be worshiped or exalted in any way over him, because he is superior in all things. That means that he has no equal. No one is greater than him. No politician is greater than him. No one on earth is greater than him. No other God, because our God reigns supreme. That's the God we worship, who is God Most High. He has no equal. No one else can come close to his glory or his majesty or who he is. Psalm 83, verse 18 says, "Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High. High over all the earth." He reigns over this earth and he reigns over everything. Aren't you thankful that in a time of transition, our God is the God Most High? He's the one that reigns. He's the one who's ultimately in control. There's no one greater than him. And we can trust and we can rely on him. He reigns over all the earth, he has no equal. Psalm 47, verse 2 says, "How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of gods, the one who reigns supreme." And Psalm 97, verse 9 says, "For you, our Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all the gods." And I highlighted Most High every time in the scripture so you can see that name, El Elyon, that you referred to. But he far exalted above all the other gods, meaning all the competition. No one can compete with him. He is the greatest of all. He has no other one. There was no one greater than him. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, we saw this verse earlier, that he is far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is to be named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Because he has no equal, but he also has no rival, meaning that no one can compete with him. No one is greater than him. No one has more power than him, but no one can compete with him because he has no rival. He will not share his glory with another. There is no demon, God, or man that can begin to match our God in his glory, his majesty, dominion, and power. He is above all, he is over all, and he is greater than all. He is the God Most High, friends. That is who he is. And all must bow before him. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, we read a story where the Ark of the Covenant had been taken captive by the Philistines. The Philistines were constant enemies of Israel, and they constantly did battle with them. They lived in Gath today. That's in the Gaza Strip area, and they're still at war with Israel. But the Ark of the Covenant had been captured, and it had been taken and put into the temple of Dagon, the false god, the god of the people of the Philistines. And the Philistines, in that culture, they believed that a country who captured, their god was greater than the country that they captured. And to show that Dagon was greater than the Lord Jehovah, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in the temple of Dagon before the big idol of Dagon, showing that he was greater than God. And if you read the story, what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 5, the priest came in the morning, and Dagon fell over before the Ark of the Covenant. And they were like, oh no, he fell over, what are we going to do? So they picked him up and they put him back. The next day, they came in, and guess what? He fell over again, and both of his hands were broken off. So they said, we got to get this Ark of the Covenant out of here. It's showing that this God is greater, the God of the Hebrews is greater than ours. But it's showing that every other God will someday bow before our Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. There is no one other than the Lord Most High, our God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ. He has no rival. He has no one greater. So Isaiah chapter 4, verse 8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will give to no other. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39 says, see now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I am the Lord. There is none other but me. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, the very first of all the commandments God gave said, you shall have no other gods before me. We know that scripture. We've said it many times. But the fact that God Most High, meaning that he has no competition, he has no rival, he has no equal, what about the gods that we build in our life that replace him? You know, we don't build idols and we don't bow down before idols. But we have our own gods of our own making in our lives, don't we? They can be our leisure. They can be sports. They can be activities that we do, even how we use our time, how we look at our money. We can bow down before other gods that become more important in our life. We may say that we love God, he's the most high in our life, but yet we have our other gods that become more important than him. And how do we know? What do you devote yourself to? What is a priority in your life? That's how we know who our God is. And he will have no rival. He is no one greater than him. Look within your own life. Have no other gods before him. Is he truly the Lord Most High in your life? He alone is the one that we worship. We bow before no one else but him. He alone deserves that place of first because he is supreme and exalted above all. There is no one greater than him, but there's also no name higher than his. That's what the Lord Most High means as well, the exalted one. There is no name that is greater or higher than his. Scripture says in Nehemiah, blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. For you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host. The earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them, you give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Nehemiah 9, 5 and 6. And Philippians 2, 9, 10 and 11 says, wherefore God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is no other name greater than his. And it's the name of Jesus spoken that gives peace in the midst of those storms in life. It's the name of Jesus that brings comfort to a person at the bedside, knowing that Jesus' presence there. It's the name of Jesus that transforms our life. And it's the name of Jesus that saves. For there is no other name given. Salvation is found in no other name except through him. He alone is the one that we worship as El Elyon. Also, he alone is the source of all blessing. It says here in verses 19 to 20 that Abram was blessed by Melchizedek, and he said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of earth, and blessed be God Most High who delivered the enemies into your hand. God alone is the one who brings us blessing, and it comes from him because all that we have comes from him. James reminds us of that. He says, every good, perfect gift comes from the Father above. And as Melchizedek blessed Abram, he said, blessed be Abram by God Most High. He reminded Abraham that he had been blessed. He had great wealth, but it wasn't from him. It was from God that had given it to him. It had God that had given him the blessing. And all that you and I have comes from God, who is the source of all of it, our God Most High, the source of all blessing. And all of our praise then is returned to him. Abraham's response was, And blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies. Blessed be God by you, and then blessing was returned back to him. And all of our praises returned back to him. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. God is the source of all blessing in your life, whatever you have, good or bad. And the scripture says that he sends the rain and he sends the sunshine. It all comes from him, and he is the source of it. And whatever he's blessed us with, he wants us to return our praise back to him, acknowledging that it's only through God. And Abraham realized that. And whenever the king of Sodom says, you can give me the people, but keep everything for yourself. And he says, no, he said, you take it, because I don't want people to think that the blessing came from my effort. He said, I want people to know that it came from the Lord himself. And he is the one who blesses all that we have, give us all that we have. God Most High as well means that he alone is the one who brings deliverance. He is the one who delivers us from all the concerns, all the problems that we have in our life, and salvation, whatever it is. Verse 20 says, blessed be the God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hands. Melchizedek said, is the God Most High who brought the deliverance. He reminded Abraham that the reason why he had victory in battle, reason why he was successful, was because it was the Lord, the God of all, who gave him that deliverance. The victory did not come from his own effort. It came from the Lord, who is the source of all our deliverance. That means that our Lord is supreme over our trials and adversities. When you and I go through those hard and difficult times in life, it is our Lord, God Most High, reigns supreme over those. Do you believe that? And he reigns supreme over those, and he can work them and does work them out according to his good purpose and will, and he will deliver us from them in his good time and way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and when they were told they had to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's statue of gold, and they refused, and they said, we will not bow before him. We will honor the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal, as you know the story. And they said to the king before they were thrown in, King, we will not judge before yourself that it is right, but we will not bow before your statue, because we believe that our God is able to deliver us from the fire. But he says, even if he does not, we still will not bow. But they knew God was able to bring deliverance. Their deliverance came from him, and in that time of tribulation. The scripture says in Psalm 91:1 that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91 goes on to say about how the Lord delivers us from the pestilence, covers us with his feathers. Under his wings we find refuge. It's because of the Most High we rest in, that he, in those times of adversity, those times of trial, he is our shield and protection. He reigns over those, and he covers us. Psalm 57, verse 2 says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. That sometimes when we go through those trials and suffering that we don't understand, God has a good purpose in it. We believe that. And he will fulfill his purpose in his time and in his way. So when you're going through heartache, when you're going through hard times, remember that God Most High is supreme over those. He has a purpose for it. He'll deliver you from it at the proper time. And he will work out his will. But he also is supreme over the forces of evil. And that's good news. Because our God has no rival. And sometimes the forces of evil around us can get pretty dark. And who knows what's ahead of us. And those forces of evil can be scary. But you know what? They don't win. Because Satan, friends, Satan is nothing more than a created rebellious angel who God has defeated and already has set his doom, right? He can rage, he can fight, he can fury, but he's nothing more than an angel who God created. He rebelled, God cast him out of heaven, and his day is coming. And the forces of evil, God reigns supreme over them. And we are on the winning side. Our Lord won. In Luke chapter 8, verses 27 to 28, we see the story of a man who lived in the region of the Gadarenes, and he was possessed by demons. In fact, as Jesus addressed him, he said, what is your name? He said, Legion, because he was full of many of them. And he was naked, and he would go around this village in this graveyard he lived, and everybody was terrified of him. When Jesus went to that area, the demons were afraid of Jesus, and they recognized him. And they said, they cried out to Jesus. They said, when they saw Jesus, they cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. That's what the forces of evil think of our God. They know that our God is the Most High God and rules over them. They know, and they tremble in his presence. In fact, James tells us that the demons tremble before the Lord. That is the God we serve. So our God reigns supreme over the forces of evil. So friends, when it gets dark, we can rejoice because we know that our God has already won. The victory has already been declared. He reigns supreme over the forces of evil. They may win some wars, but they're not going to win the battle. That's already been determined. Our God is triumphant. And he is supreme over sin and death. He has delivered us from sin. He has delivered us from death as the God Most High. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The power of sin is law, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That he has conquered through his death on the cross. He has paid the price and taken the power of sin away. He has defeated it with his own death and resurrection. He has defeated the grave. And we have that promise that our Lord God Most High reigns supreme. He, through him alone, we find deliverance from our sin, from sorrow, from heartache, from the forces of evil, from all those things. He reminded in verse 21, blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies, the one who brings deliverance to us. If you need deliverance this morning, look to God Most High. He is the one. And El Elyon, our God Most High, He alone is the one that we serve. Verses 22 to 24, after Melchizedek blessed him, the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people, but you keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I have taken an oath." Abram says, "No, I serve God only, and I have declared my allegiance to him." He deserves, as God Most High, he deserves our full allegiance. And Abram says, "No, I give my full allegiance to God. I don't want you to give me. I'm not taking any of the goods. I'm not taking any of that. I trust in God. I am committed to him. And he is the one that I serve." He raised his hand to the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, years later had come in Israel's history. God had given them victory. They had given in wilderness in a slave in Egypt for 400 years, and God brought them deliverance. They ran through the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're getting ready to take the land. They still were struggling with worshiping other gods. And Joshua, in his farewell speech, said to them, "If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." He drove the stake down and he said, "I am not going to serve any other gods. I and my family have chosen to serve God only." That's a choice you and I must make before God Most High. Jesus said in Matthew, "You can't serve both God and mammon," or God and money. I want to put it this way. You can't serve God and anything else. It's not God and, it's God only. And he is the one who deserves that first place. He deserves our full allegiance. And he deserves our absolute trust. Abram said to the king of Sodom, he said, you can take the people and the goods. I don't want anything except what belongs to the men who fought with me. Let them have their share. But he said, "You keep the rest, because I don't want people to say the king of Sodom gave me my wealth." He said, "I trust in the Lord. And my absolute trust is in him, and I rely on his provision." And because he is the God Most High, he deserves our absolute and complete trust and our reliance and confidence on him as our God and as our Savior. El Elyon is indeed the Most High God, exalted far above everything else. He alone is the one that we worship. Is there anyone or anything else in your life that is more important than God? You need to confess that. You need to deal with that today, because he alone deserves that first place in our life. He alone is the source of all blessing. Are you trusting in or looking to anything else? Or have we forgotten that it is God who provides us all that we have? Return our praise back to him. He alone is the one who brings deliverance. Are you looking in or trusting in anything else? It's only through him that deliverance is found. He has won. And he alone is the one that we serve. None other but God himself. So, because he is El Elyon, because he is God Most High, the devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me, because I'm a child of the God Most High. Is there an amen to that? And that's what it means. R. L. Elyon, God exalted above all others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the great high God, exalted over all others. No one else can come close to you in your glory, in your majesty, in your dominion, in your power, and who you are. You are exalted above all kingdoms, above all principalities, above all rulers, above everything. You alone reign supreme. You alone are the one we worship. And Father, I pray that by your Spirit this morning, you would just make us look within ourselves again and show us and reveal to us, is there anything of any gods that we have of our own making that we have bowed before? Anything we have other gods besides you? Anything that has taken your place or become more important to you in our life? For Lord, you have no equal and you have no rival. You will not share that glory, that space with anyone else. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have allowed other things to take your place. And we have been distracted and not worshiping you only and have focused in on other things. You alone deserve that place of supreme first in our life. Father, you alone are the source of all that we have, of all blessing. We acknowledge that again, that all that we have has come from you, and we return our praise and our gratitude back to you. You alone are the one who brings deliverance, thanking you that you provided a way that we can be delivered from our sin through your death on the cross, through paying the price in the resurrection, that you conquered sin and death in the grave forever. And our faith and trust in you, we thank you that you have destroyed and you reign supreme over the forces of evil, that you have defeated them, that you are greater. Greater is the one who is in us than the one who is in the world. And we thank you for that assurance. That you as well reign over death and the grave. That you reign over and supreme over the trials and adversities in our life. And Lord, when we go through those times, may remind us that you reign over those. That you will deliver us in the appropriate time. That you are working out your purpose and will, and you will accomplish what's good in us. And may we look to you. And Father, we thank you as well that you alone are the one we serve. None other but you. No other gods but you. We serve you only. Not you and something else, but you only. Lord, may we commit ourselves again to you this morning as the God Most High. As Abram did in his response, was he responded by giving you a tenth of everything. He responded by giving you worship. He responded by giving back to you. Lord, may we respond again by giving ourselves back to you again today in dedication, in surrender, and in praise. For great be you, exalted be your name, the Lord Most High, above all the earth and above our lives. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, the name of the Most High God, and in his name we pray. Amen.